All right, well, we are going to look at the book of Luke once again this evening. Luke chapter number 4. Certainly, as we look at the different miracles of Christ, our faith is encouraged. But let me encourage you that as we see the life of Christ, the miracles of Christ, we're encouraged to trust Him more, to do the miraculous in our lives, but also to rejoice in our wonderful Saviour's love. Luke chapter 4, let's look at verses 38 to 44 tonight. Luke chapter 4. You might want to put a bookmark there so your pages don't blow away. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. Thank you for turning there. Let's look at verse 38 down to 44. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. When it was day, he departed into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we spend a few moments in your word, Lord, we pray that you would revive us again. Lord, revive our faith as we see our precious Lord Jesus Christ as he truly is. Help us, dear Lord, to put our confidence and trust in thee in a greater way in this week ahead. Help us, Father, to be a people of faith that still believe, dear God, you do the miraculous. And Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the wonderful testimony and example of our Saviour's life and our Saviour's love. Help us to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, this little illustration I'm going to share is called the mistaken miracle. The mistaken miracle. One day at a hospital, everyone was waiting with anticipation for a visit from Pope John Paul II. A doctor with a handful of paperwork took a seat while he was waiting in a wheelchair and busied himself with his notes. When the Pope swept in, he blessed the doctor with a wave of his hand, who immediately stood up and walked forward. Now the Pope's devout entourage immediately made the sign of the cross and looked upward, rejoicing in this great miracle. Now, that little story was a mistaken miracle. Of course, no miracle took place. But I say that to say the Lord's miracles recorded in the Word of God were not mistaken. Amen? They were not misunderstood. They were genuine, real-life, practical, spiritual miracles. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been learning, He is the great miracle worker. Amen? He is the one who has the power to do the miraculous. When people saw his works, they were astonished. Do you remember last time when we looked at the just a few passages before this one, how the Lord cast out a demon out of the man in the synagogue? They were astonished. They were amazed. They never saw it on this fashion when they saw his miraculous works. They were dumbfounded by his miraculous power. And Christ is the great miracle worker. And he deserves our faith. He deserves our confidence. He deserves our love. And of course, as we look through these miracles, the lesson is not so much what God can do in our life, but the praise and the love that he deserves for his presence and goodness to us. So tonight we're going to look at the miracle of the day of healing. Now we're going to continue on in the day that the Lord began. Last time we were here looking at the miracles of Christ, two Sunday nights ago, we looked at the morning the Lord spent in the synagogue. He worked a wonderful miracle. He delivered that demon-possessed man from that demon, but the day was not over yet. Notice what the Bible says next in verse number 38. What happened next? And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Now that was Simon Peter. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. So the Lord Jesus Christ was invited for lunch. Amen? It looks like as Baptists, we continue the tradition as well. After Sunday, we have lunch together. Sometimes we have it together, sometimes we have it alone. But that's a good biblical, there's the precedent right there. Amen. Amen? Tradition to have. And so anyways, the Lord went to Simon Peter's house, and there was Simon's wife's mother. And of course, we all know Simon had a wife. Simon Peter, supposedly the first pope, as Catholics say, was not the first pope, and he was not single. He was married. He had a wife, and his wife's mother was there. But there was a problem. You know, she was going to be the host for the day, for the lunch, for the wonderful opportunity to have the Lord Jesus Christ in the house. No doubt she was excited, but she couldn't make the necessary preparations because she was down with a fever, a great fever. And as the Lord Jesus Christ approached the house, he walked over to Peter's mother-in-law, and the Bible says they besought him for her. They said to the Lord, "Lord, she's sick, she's not well, she has a great fever," and they brought her to the Lord, and the Lord healed her. Now this is an astonishing thing. Just a few hours ago, the Lord was in the synagogue, and remember, he rebuked the devil, did he not? He put the devil, the demon, in his place. He rebuked the devil, and now we find him in Peter's mother-in-law's house, rebuking a fever. Now, if we learn anything from this example of the Lord, what do we learn? Well, the Lord is able to do the miraculous in the great things and in the small things. Isn't that true? The Lord is able to do the impossible in the great things and also in the small things. You see, that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a simple fever is what he faced, but he still took the opportunity to do the miraculous. And I'm afraid a lot of times as Christians, and we spoke about prayer this morning, we don't pray because we don't trust the Lord for the little things. You know, sometimes even when we're sick, we think, well, we're not dying. I'm not going to bother to, you know, pray and ask the Lord to help me in this sickness. I'll just wait until it passes. Isn't that true? Oftentimes that's how we think. Look, this isn't an impossible thing. It's not like I'm dying. It's not like I'm losing my life. I'm just, you know, sick. I have a fever, if you will, and we don't pray. But yet the Lord is the one who deserves the glory for the little miracles in our life. The Lord wants to be involved in the daily needs of our life. He wants us to be a people that pray always. That not only wait until we think, well, that is impossible and I can't see how that possibly will happen and I'll bring that need to the Lord and I'll beseech Him for that need. No, the Lord wants to be involved in our daily life. Wants to be involved in the little things. God wants us to trust Him with our daily needs. Amen. That's why we are to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And as Brother Huey mentioned, I still remember it when he preached on the prayer that the Lord has given us. We are to pray before the Lord provides for our daily needs, not afterwards. So often afterwards, we pray, thank you, Lord, for your provision for today. But what about praying ahead of time? You see, the Lord deserves the glory. He deserves our love. He deserves our attention. And there is nothing too great or too small for the Lord. Now, He can create the universe with a single spoken word. Amen? And we know that. But the Lord is also able to do the miraculous in the small things. In the small things. Let me encourage you this week to trust the Lord with the small things. You know, sometimes it's good for us just to pray and say, Lord, please protect me on the road today. Amen? Our God, in His mercy and His grace, often delivers us and keeps us and protects us, even though we don't pray, but we don't receive the blessing of thanking the Lord. We don't receive the blessing of understanding, hey, the Lord has miraculously protected me because I was this inch from their bumper and it was almost about to hit, amen, we've all been there, and we should be in prayer as God's people in the little things, in the small things in life. See, Peter's mother-in-law, she had a fever. That's just a small thing. But the Lord, in His love and His attention, not only saw the need in the synagogue for the miraculous in that man's life to be delivered from a demon possession, but also He saw the need of Peter's mother-in-law, sick with a fever. God is the God of small things. Amen? So let's bring them to Him. Let's bring our everyday needs to the Lord. Let's bring our family to the Lord. Husbands, we need to pray for our wives. Amen? Lord, help them to grow. Lord, help them lead. Lord, help me to lead, but help them to be a mother to our children. Help them to be a godly example. You know, the little things in life are important as well. Do we not need God to work miracles in our family? And yes, they're big things, but sometimes we categorize our needs and say, well, I need the miraculous for God to provide me a job, but we forget to pray for our family, for our personal needs. And maybe at work, for example, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, give me wisdom. I've got a challenging time today at work and I've got a difficult situation. And Lord, I need wisdom in this relationship or this need at work. Sometimes we don't bring those little things to Him, do we? Why? Because we're not living by faith. We're not willing to trust Him for that day. And we are to pray always, as we heard this morning. Coming before the throne at any time, amen? Speaking to the Lord, being ready to pray. Let me encourage you this evening as we start. We see Christ's power. We see Christ's power in the little things. What might seem small to us is not too big for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's look at this verse for a moment. Book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Just a little thought on a familiar verse. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read it aloud together, shall we? On to. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1, 2. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All right, now what's the second word in that verse? Say it together.
All.
Casting all your care. Not just some, not just the big needs. Not just the impossible needs, but every care, every need. Amen? Casting all your care, and how can we be confident that the Lord hears us or even wants to be involved in the little things that we might think are not even really important, for He careth for you. Are you glad this evening you have a Savior that cares for you? Are you glad this evening, just like Peter's mother-in-law, nothing is too big for the Savior. Nothing is too great. Nothing is impossible for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to cast every care on Him. We are to expect Him to do the miraculous in the little things. So let's be encouraged tonight. Amen. We need to give Him an opportunity to show His care in the small things by bringing those needs to Him. Bringing those needs and our life is full of them. Would you agree this evening?
Amen.
Now don't get distracted. Our life is full of needs. Full of them. But which ones do we bring to God? The ones we put at the top of the list, which we believe are absolutely impossible. And then we leave the rest of them off. That's not living by faith. Amen? I think we've got the point. Amen? But it's an encouraging truth. God is the God of the small things. Amen? God is the God of the little things. He's interested and desiring to do the impossible in what we think is not so big, but if we bring it before the Lord, He loves us, He cares, He wants to show His glory, even in the little things. Amen? Even in the little things. And He deserves the praise as the result. Why don't we praise Him as we should? Because we don't pray for the little things. We only pray for the big things. We don't pray for the everyday needs, so we miss so much opportunity for thanksgiving and praise. So first of all, tonight we've seen Christ's power in the little things, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Now when she was free from the fever, when the Lord rebuked the fever, well then she got up, the Bible says, and she made a meal for them, she ministered unto them, and they enjoyed some time together. Now, that would be enough for a day. Amen? A day's ministry or a day's work, but the day continued. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. So Luke chapter 4, verse number 40, notice what was happening as the sun was setting. Now, the Lord had already spent a long time ministering to people around him, didn't he? Earlier on in the chapter, the Lord was in the synagogue. And now the Sabbath was over. He had spent some time in Peter's house, and then he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and the sun was setting, the day was over, when you and I would probably want to just go home or just go rest somewhere and take some time apart. But that's when the multitude arrived. You see, the sun was setting, which meant the Sabbath day was over. And so that's when the disease came. That's when the demon-possessed came. That's when the multitude, the needy, came to see the Lord. And I just want you to put that picture in your mind that you know, the news of Christ's miracles have spread so fast that there was a multitude just waiting for the Sabbath to be over, and now they came to him in droves. Notice what the Bible says. They had diverse diseases, and they brought them unto him. Notice the word brought in verse 40. It means to carry as a burden. So picture with me in your minds, there were some that needed to be carried, that couldn't walk. There were some that were so sick, so diseased, so physically impaired that others had to bring them to the Lord. There were others that could make their own way, but they were coming in droves and being brought to the Lord. Some were suffering from sickness. Some were suffering from Satan. Some were diseased, some were demon-possessed, but here they came. Now, regardless of how they got there, the Lord Jesus Christ helped them all. That's what the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 4 and verse 40. He helped them all. Now, let me just quickly stop and say, as we're speaking about healing, as we're speaking about miraculous recovery, it's not always God's will to heal us. It's not always God's will to heal us. Why did the great physician come to the earth? Well, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And his miraculous healing works were to confirm the word of God. We'll be reminded of that in a minute. And Christ chose to heal, but he didn't heal everyone. Amen. He didn't heal everyone all the time, everywhere he went. We are told about the healings that took place in the Scriptures. That's what's revealed to us. And when it comes to the Christian life, it's not God's will all the time to heal us instantly, to miraculously take away that fever immediately, for example, as Peter's mother-in-law experienced. I mean, if it's God's will to heal all the time, then in Philippians chapter 2, why was Epaphroditus at the point of death? Philippians chapter 2. If it's always God's will to heal, then why was Trophimus, told to us by Paul, so sick and Paul could not heal him himself? Why was Trophimus still sick? And then Paul, with the thorn of affliction. You remember what the Apostle Paul said? He said, the Lord has left this thorn in me, whatever it may be, this physical trial in his life for a reason. And it would be so that Paul would not rely on his own strength in his spiritual walk, but would rely on God, and that he would experience a greater measure of God's grace in his life. You see, it's not always God's will to heal, but it's always God's will that he be glorified through our condition, as we look to him by faith, as we rely on him by faith. But let me encourage you, Christ's compassion is always there. Amen. There is none that ever comes to the Lord and goes away disappointed, because he is a compassionate Savior. We've seen the Lord's power in the little things, but then we see Christ's compassion here in this day of healing. Notice verse number 40. Again, what was the time that the multitude arrived? When the sun was setting. It was at the end of the day. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, but he was within a human body, a body that felt tiredness, felt hunger, as we've read in the scriptures. He was thirsty, he hungered, he tired, he was weary. And that's when the multitude arrived. It had been a long day. Now, how long did the Lord stay there, healing, ministering, in compassion, reaching out to the needy? Notice verse number 42. And when it was day, he departed. Now, we don't know how long into the night, but I dare say it was into the night that the Lord continued to minister. Did he work and perform the miraculous till the morning? Well, that's what the Bible seems to indicate, because that's when he departed. What was he doing till then? Well, they arrived at sunset, so he continued to heal and minister to the multitude. And what I want you to see tonight is Christ's compassion. You see, Christ's miracles reveal to us something about himself, his care for us, and his compassion for the needy. As he came, notice what the Bible says. Now, Dr. Luke was a physician himself. Amen? Notice what he tells us about the great physician in verse number 40. At the end of verse 40, look with me there. And he laid his hands on, what's the next word? Everyone. Every one of them that came received the Lord's compassion. Every one of them, the Bible says, was healed. You see, everyone that came to the Lord was received. He turned none away. Though he was weary, though he was exhausted, though he was ready to go to bed, amen, the Lord turned none away. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The rich came. The poor came. The popular came. The nobodies came. The religious came. The filthy sinners came. And the Lord received them all, amen. What a wonderful picture of Christ's compassion. What a wonderful picture of Christ's love. Don't miss the heart of our Savior in the miraculous day of healing here in the Word of God. He is the master healer with a mighty heart. Amen. That is the Savior that's revealed. No doubt he was hungry and tired in his humanity, but in his deity, his meat was to do the will of God. Amen. He hungered and thirsted to do the will of God. And he was performing the miraculous. And as we look at these scriptures, the true miracle, wouldn't you agree, is not the healing of the sick. It's not the restoring of the body. It's not the demon-possessed cast out demons from them. That's not the true miracle. The miracle here, the one that we need to pay attention to, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He is the great miracle in these passages, because we see a miraculous love that is beyond human capacity. Amen? We see a miraculous compassion that you and I can't even begin to imagine. We see a miraculous long-suffering that only comes from the heart of God. A miraculous humility that God would come down to this sin-cursed world and would lay his own holy hands upon the wretched, upon the diseased, upon the leprous, upon the rejected, filthy, perverse, wicked sinners of this world. The Lord would express his love in such a way. That's the Savior of the Bible, amen? That's the Savior that loves you and I. And as God's people, as we read these passages, we ought to be encouraged and we ought to rejoice and ought to thank the Lord for his love, amen? I trust you're thankful this evening that Christ loved a wretched, filthy, unrighteous sinner like you and I. Amen. See, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord wasn't reserved in receiving everyone. He worked all night. He reached out. And we wonder at his miraculous power, but we wonder even more at his miraculous compassion for the needy. Isaiah chapter 53, let's look there together. Isaiah chapter 53. Are you still with me this evening?
Yes.
Amen. The Lord's compassion. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Don't take his compassion for granted. Where would we be without his love? Where would we be if he did not love us beyond what we deserved? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together. On two. One,
2. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Now don't mistake verse number 5. It's not a pretext for God healing every born-again Christian once they're saved from their diseases. No, this is a pretext for salvation, amen? By his stripes we are healed. This speaks of Christ's suffering on the cross. This speaks of Christ's suffering for you and I. That he went to that old rugged cross, and though he was God, though we did not deserve his love was poured out on Calvary when his blood shed from his holy veins, and he claimed it is finished, and your sins and mine were paid for once and for all. Christ's compassion. We ought to be overwhelmed at times when we see the picture of Christ's compassion for us. His love. He was wounded for our transgressions. Amen? The innocent Lamb of God was slain for the guilty. He was bruised for our iniquities. And you and I can only be at peace today in Jesus Christ because of his sufferings, his humility, his compassion to come for us. Amen? What a wonderful picture of our Savior in the book of Luke. Let's turn back there. Let me say this before we go on. Once we are saved, God desires to do such a work in us that we would have a compassion for those around us in need. Amen? The Lord desires to do a work in us so that we would have a love for Christ and a love of Christ flowing through us, that we would reach out to the needy around us. Now, we cannot do the miraculous. Amen? We need the Lord to do the miraculous, and that's his work to do, but the Lord wants to use us to reach out nevertheless. And brethren, let's be honest this evening, we need a greater compassion for the needy around us. I mean, how many of you and I would have stuck around the Lord and spent the night reaching out to the needy? How many of you and I would say, hey, you know, doesn't matter if I'm tired, doesn't matter if I'm hungry, but Lord's work is more important. Lord, help me to reach out to someone in need. Well, we all need to work in that area, don't we? And how do we develop that compassion, that love? Well, we need to simply love the one that loved us. Amen? When we love the Lord Jesus Christ, as we should, we'll be able to love the unlovable. We'll be able to love those in need around us, and they're everywhere. My friends, we are surrounded by unsaved people. We are surrounded by people with the greatest disease in the history of mankind, and it's not a fever, it is not AIDS, it is the disease of sin. Amen? And that's what people need, a miracle healer to attend to them for. And Christ is the miracle worker. He is able to seek and to save that which was lost. But let me encourage you to be thankful for his compassion. Now, when we understand the compassion Christ has for us, he's able to help us to have compassion for others, isn't he? Amen? I know that some people are just not lovable, and that's reality. So how do we overcome that barrier? How do we overcome that difficulty in reaching out, though that person may not even want help? Well, we need to love the Savior. If we love the Savior because he loved us first, then we can reach out and continue to be compassionate. Let me encourage you to let God stretch you this year in your compassion level. Amen? Let God do a work in your heart. Learn from him by example. Consider him, the Bible says, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And you might go to work every day and you might say, I can't handle this anymore. I can't handle this crowd of unsaved, unregenerate, wicked sinners. I don't know, we have days like that, don't we? I wish the Lord would give me another job. But yet so often we forget he's put us right there to show a compassion that these people have never seen before. A compassionate love that Christ, and only he can do in our lives to flow through us. A compassion. Compassion for the lost. Well, we've seen Christ's power in the little things, amen? Let's bring them to him each day. We've seen Christ's compassion in his day of healing, his love and his humility to continue to lay his hand and heal every single one that came. I don't believe that there was one left at the end of the day that came to Christ and the Lord turned away, amen? Thank God that no one that comes to Christ will he cast out. Amen. That's Christ's compassion. We need a little bit more of that in our lives. Let's love him more for his compassion to us. Lastly, notice Christ's priority. All right, let's end with the last few verses. Verse number 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him, stayed him, that he should not depart from them. These were ones that had been healed. They said, Lord, don't go. We want you to stay. Notice what he said in verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. What do the last two verses tell us? What do they inform us of? Well, you see, don't be mistaken. As the Lord was performing the miraculous physically, he was also doing something else. He was doing what? He was preaching. Amen? He was preaching the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ's ministry was not a healing ministry. It was a saving ministry. His healing work displayed to all those around him the greatness of the love of God. His healing work communicated to everyone around him that his words were the words of God. They confirmed his preaching, but his priority was the preaching of God's word. His priority was the gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching. Therefore am I sent. So picture it with me. As he healed, he was preaching. Now you and I need to be Christians that perform good works. Amen? Now, let's not let the religions of the world rob us from being Christians that do good works. The Lord wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to do good works. But the Lord hasn't called us to feed people and leave them where they're at. No, He has called us to show a love and a kindness to them, Christ-like kindness, and with that, to preach the gospel. Amen. That is the key to serving the Lord. We have to show a compassion and a love, but the pinnacle of that love is being willing to witness, being willing to tell that person of their greatest need. And so the Lord gives us opportunities to show kindness, to show care, but don't forget about the priority in our ministry, in our life, which is to be a witness, to preach the gospel. That was Christ's priority. Now let me say this, not everyone that came to the Lord Jesus Christ was saved. Not everyone that came to him was saved. Wouldn't you agree? I believe that many came to him simply to be healed. And that's a picture of the world today, is it not? Lots of people come to Jesus, as they say, for many different reasons. They come to him because they have financial problems. They come to him because they have relationship problems. They come to him because they have anxiety problems. And they say, I need help. I need God's help. And if this Jesus can help me, then I want him a part of my life. But you see, the greatest need that the Lord Jesus Christ came for was not our health, happiness, and finances. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bring sinners to repentance. Those that are whole need not a physician. I come not to call the righteous, the Lord said, but sinners to repentance. You see, the priority must be the gospel. Man's greatest need today is not the healing of the body, but the healing of the soul. Now, sometimes the Lord will lead along our path someone who's physically sick, someone who's not saved, and they might say to you, as some have already said, please pray for me at the Wednesday night prayer meeting. They're not saved. They don't know the Lord, but they know that you know something about God, and they want you to pray for them on Wednesday night, and you bring that prayer request, but let me encourage you, that's just an open opportunity to share the gospel. Amen. We need to go further than that kindness. We need to step out by faith and say, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. Now, good works includes the gospel. We need to set the priority in being a witness. Amen? Our example is important. Our love and care and compassion is necessary for our testimony, but only to back up the words that we will preach. Amen? It's no point preaching on the love of God if we're not showing any love and care for those around us at work. It's no point seeking to be a witness if we're just angry and frustrated and unforgiving in the workplace. So our life needs to back up our message. But the message is the priority. Amen? That's what the Lord's example shows us in this wonderful day of the miraculous. Man is a sinner. Man needs a Savior. Man's only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a sin-sick soul turns to the Lord for salvation, let me assure you, he is instantly and suddenly cleansed from his sin forever. And he is made whole. He is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and made a new creature in Christ. That is the greatest miraculous work of the Lord. That's the reason why Christ came. That's his priority. Don't replace witnessing with works. Amen? The two go together. We are to be kind. We are to be compassionate. We are to reach out in love. And sometimes that includes forgiveness. Amen? Forgiveness to others, those who are lost, who are not saved. But that love, that expression of compassion needs to be there to back up the message that we will share, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his priority. Verse 43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Church family, therefore are you sent. Amen? Therefore are we sent as a local New Testament church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? To every creature. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we need to be found preaching the gospel. It's nice to invite someone to church. That's a nice thing. That's a caring thing. But go further. Amen? Be a witness as the Lord allows the opportunity. I understand not every opportunity. Maybe sometimes there's a cash register, someone's lining up and you don't have time to say anything and you might feel that way, but still ask the Lord to give you boldness to say something. Amen? And if there's not time, we'll leave them with the gospel, ask them to read what's on the back, tell them that's the most important thing, because you have invited them, but that's not the most important thing. People coming to church. No, people coming to Christ is the most important. So let me encourage you to make the gospel your priority, as it was the Lord's. Well, we learned some wonderful lessons from Christ's miraculous day of healing. His miraculous healing. His power in the little things. Don't forget about the little things this week. Amen? Bring them to him. Let the Lord be glorified in the little things. We need his miraculous help every day. Thank God, even when we pray, he is merciful and gracious to his children. But let's bring those needs to him so that at the end of the day, we can be found praising God. Amen? Let's not despise the little things and say, that's too much for the Lord. Let's be compassionate as the Lord was compassionate. Let's go out of our way. Sometimes it'll be inconvenient. Sometimes it'll be undeserved. But let's love as the Lord loved. Amen? Let's be thankful he loved us so, his compassion. That none that came to him was cast out, was rejected. And lastly, let's keep the priority, the gospel. The main thing needs to be the main thing. If only God's people would stick to the main thing, more of the main thing will be getting out in the world. Let's not get sidetracked as Christians. Let's not confuse works with the gospel. The two go together. Amen? The two go together. We are to be the light of the world that bring people to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's allow him to send us this week. For therefore am I sent.